It's about to go down.
Burning your ears with another all-killer and no-filler episode of the best motorsports radio on the planet. It's the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. With your host, Jim Beaver.
Sliding trophy trucks, jumping razors, and dropping the mic at events across the country.
Amy Hood.
What's up, guys? I'm a professional fun haver, dirt bike rider, and monster truck driver.
With support from Polaris Razor, General Tire, Subaru, and Dirtfish. Hang on tight, strap in, and get ready to smoke some tires and lay some roost. Here's the man who carries a steering wheel in one hand and a mic in the other. Jim Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And do we have a slam-packed show for you today? I got to tell you, it was one hell of a whirlwind of a weekend. Like 8, 9, 10 crazy different series all going on. And I don't know, my poor good friend Chris Leone, who does all the writing for the Down and Dirty Radio Show website, man, he was, I got to tell you, his fingers got to be falling off here pretty soon because all the typing he did, punching out the content and the stories and the recaps. But hopefully you guys have gone over to the Down and Dirty Radio Show and checked out all that amazing content that we've been dropping there, all written and photos, just amazing stuff, talking about the weekends. And then you get your audio content right here, and I got to tell you, it is nothing short of amazing today on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We've got, check this out, we got five drivers, five different series, all crammed into a two-hour show. Kicking things off, we got Toni Bredinger. She is the all-time winningest female USAC driver. She's also going ARCA racing here later this month. We got Sam Albert, my Dirtfish Rally teammate. He took a podium, second overall national podium at ARA Rally this weekend. We got Greg Biffle, General Tire Ambassador, NASCAR legend. Kristen Matlock, who slayed the competition at the Baja 500. And then we've got Clay Milliken, back-to-back winner in NHRA, all that coming at you today on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount. Since 1970, Casey Highlights has been designing and manufacturing performance lighting for off-road and motorsports. Beginning with the legendary Daylighter up until today's revolutionary Flex, Pod, and Pro 6 lighting systems, Casey Highlights offers a full line of halogen, HID, and LED lighting solutions for your off-road vehicle. Looking for the best quality lighting? Looking for the brand champions choose? You're looking for KC Highlights. Find out more information at kchighlights.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KC Highlights.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And, you know, like I said, going into that little break after the intro, we got one hell of a show lined up for you guys today. Guest list real quick. Once again, Clay Milliken, back-to-back NHRA winner, top fuel driver, you know, a Razor aficionado. Always fun having Clay on the line. We've also got Kristen Matlock. She took the overall UTV victory in an NA car at the Baja 500, beat all the NA cars, passed all the turbo cars, and took the overall victory. Man, what a hell of an effort by her. Iron Woman style, did all 550 miles of it, or 535 miles. Kristen Matlock, she's online. Always fun catching up with her. My Dirtfish Rally teammate, Sam Albert, he is calling in. He's got back-to-back national podiums, won his class this weekend at STPR Rally. He's on the line. And then we've got Greg Biffle, General Tire Ambassador. I did an interview with him at the General Tire 150, the ARCA race. He's on talking about all things that he's up to. And then we've got Tony Bredinger, USAC racer. She's doing her, making her ARCA debut, all-time winningest female USAC driver. She's on the line as well, coming up after this short segment. I got to tell you, it's a slam-packed show. It was crazy weekend, like 8 motorsports events going on. Something just absolutely bananas, to be honest with you. I don't know. It was impossible to keep up with everything. I watched some of the Detroit doubleheader, watched the live streaming in Baja. I don't know. We had Formula Drift going on, Pro Moto, IMSA, IndyCar, NHRA. It was just, how do you keep up with like 8 major events? SST, just bananas. But I got to tell you, probably the highlight of the entire weekend. I don't know if you guys were watching the Detroit Grand Prix. But the pace car crashed. Literally, the freaking pace car crashed. It's slowly starting to trickle out on social media. But, dude, like, and it's a road course. So it's not like it's, you know, going around a speedway, right, where you're going 150 miles. Well, not that the pace car ever goes that fast. But, literally, the guy, he's in, like, a $100,000 Corvette. I guess he's a GM executive or something. He went around a corner, spun out, hit the wall, destroyed the Corvette pace car. They had to pause the race. Like, dude, I guess that General Motors needed some more TV time or something. But you don't want to be that dude, especially if you're a GM exec. Like, not that the guy's going to get fired over it, but, like, man, to be the dude that to be the dude that crashes a pace car. I mean, like, wow. Can you imagine that guy going back to the office? Can you imagine him going to General Motors and going back to the office? How much crap that guy got? I mean, absolute crap. Like, I would not want to be that dude. Like, you know, he took some vacation time over that. He's like, yeah, I'm not going back to the office. I'm cashing in, like, my month's worth of vacation, and we're not going back to the office because I just don't want to face the music because, dude, like, that's – you got to watch this video, pace car crash. I don't even know what to say. Yeah, so that happened. But before we get to talking about Baja and everything else that's going on, I want to make mention something massive happened to me. Actually, it happened about a month and a half ago. I haven't been able to talk about it. If you guys listened to Project Action this past week, you might have caught a bit of it, me talking about it. But I finally got clearance. You know, Cranon, it's happening here in a week and a half, depending on when you're listening to this. The first kickoff for Cranon, it's going to be a big one. You know, it's the new Lucas Midwest Short Course League. You know, Short Course is unified. We've talked about this on air. Massive news. Well, I have some even bigger news for you, at least if you're a listener to this show and a supporter of mine. I am the new color commentator for television for the Lucas Midwest Short Course League. So big thank you to Lucas Oil. For inviting me and signing me to be the new color commentator. Very humbling. I'm going to be working alongside Rob Klepper, who is your who is going to be the pit reporter. And then we've got my good friend Tess Sewell. You know him from X Games. He did some GRC stuff for quite some time. I mean, he does Red Bull Signature Series stuff. I mean, he commentates on Red Bull TV. Just a TV personality who's been around for a long, long time. And you probably know him best from X Games. But Tess Sewell, he's going to be the host commentator. I'm going to be the color guy. And very, very much looking forward to commentating this new series that's going to be tremendous. We're not going to talk about it too much today, the series, because next week is the lead into the event at Cranon. We're definitely going to dedicate a huge chunk of the show to it. We're going to have a bunch of the drivers on air. I'm thinking Keegan Kincaid, Cranon local boy, who just shreds it. So definitely thinking we're going to have Keegan on the show. We'll have to reach out to him. He doesn't know that. If you're listening, Keegan, yeah, you're going to be on air next week. Just saying. But big thank you to Lucas for thinking enough of me and what we do here on radio that you hired me to be the color commentator. Very, very excited about it. Excited to be able to go to Cranon twice, Bark River, ERX Motor Park. It's going to be one hell of a year for me. I had it in four additional event weekends. I was already going out to Bark River in one of the Cranons, but throwing in a couple of extra events. Going to be a good time. So definitely looking forward to that. More details on airings and things like that. We will also be, so I'll be the TV host, the live stream commentator on Lucas TV on the app and on their website, and then also the live event MC. So if you're at the event, boom, you can, you know, you'll hear me. If you're watching on the app or online, the live stream, boom, you'll hear me. If you watch on TV later on, boom, you'll hear me. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of me. So just fair warning, but love your feedback and let me know how I do. But we had Baja this weekend. It was one hell of an event. Obviously, we're going to have Kristen Matlock, one of the event winners. But I got to tell you, man, this trophy truck race went down to the wire. Rob Mack ended up taking the overall victory there. But I've never seen a race where, like, five or six guys all doing battle back and forth for that victory. Like, it was, I don't know, this Baja 500 was the 50th anniversary. It was a brutally tough course, but it's got to go down in the history books as one of the, I don't know, I got to say, one of the closest Baja 500 battles. There might have been one that was a few seconds closer, but not with an entire group of drivers that all had the potential of taking a victory. I mean, it literally, these guys were back and forth battling, you know, on time the entire event. It was really exciting to watch the live stream and watch the dots move, you know, and the tracking, just to see, like, how these guys were battling, you know, and a flat tire could decide it. It was it was crazy how close. And not just the top group of five or six, but even there 15, 20, 30 minutes out, like there was so many drivers that had a chance, you know, in the days of just finishing a trophy truck race and getting, you know, on the podium or even a top 10, those days are long, long gone. I don't think people, you know, appreciate how close desert racing has become. And it's just remarkable, you know, the talent and the caliber of the drivers in trophy truck and, you know, and how close these battles are. So looking forward to seeing this air out on TV and see how they present it, because it was one hell of a race. Let me tell you, it was definitely one hell of a race. So, So that happened as well. You know, we had Baja going on, Formula D, you know, had a triple podium by one tire company. That doesn't happen very often. You know, so Formula D was happening, Pro Moto happened. It was a crazy, crazy weekend. Big shout out once again to Chris Leone over at the Down and Dirty Radio Show website, who keeps punching out the content there. If you guys haven't checked out all the written content we're producing, man, we're not just a radio and audio service anymore, man. We're rolling out the written content on the website, and you know, if you listen to the show, you're definitely going to like it. And one thing we don't cover for the most part is NASCAR, but off road, rally, drifting, moto. We're going to do some snowcross this winter, IndyCar, NHRA, a bit of IMSA, Stadium Super Trucks, Short Course, boom, it's all there. Lots of Crandon content coming at you this next week. So if you haven't checked out the Down and Dirty Radio Show website, definitely go over there. It's downanddirtyshow.com and get in on all that content. You know, it's been fun producing it all. It's been a ton of fun producing it all, and you know, and watching Chris produce. I don't produce it all; he does. But it's been a fun one. So definitely go over there, check it out, and drop us a note. But we're going to take a short break, and we come back. We got Tony Bredinger, who is going to be on the line talking ARCA, USAC, and female race car drivers. So all that and more coming at you today on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want the latest from Jim Beaver and Amy Hood? Follow at Jim Beaver 15 and at Amy Hood 71 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome our first guest to the line this week, Tony Bredinger. How's everything going, Tony?
It's going good. Thank you so much for having me.
Stoked to have you on air with us. Man, first off, I know you are busy. You raced this past weekend. I know you're pretty, I don't know, it seems like in sprint car world, you got to almost be racing every single weekend, right?
Yeah, I try to be in a car as much as possible, of course. Last weekend, I was actually racing a stock car, though. So a little different than the open wheel cars I'm used to, but I'm trying to get as much seat time in stock cars since my big ARCA races are coming up.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about that. I was actually out at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the General Tire 150, a week or so ago, and got to interview a lot of the ARCA drivers. And, I mean, I've been familiar with ARCA for years, but, like, the talent pool that's in ARCA right now is crazy. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a lot of drivers who in the next, you know, 3-4 years, we're going to see them, you know, at the top level of NASCAR. I mean, how did that all get put together? I mean, ARCA, obviously, you know, USAC, we'll talk about that in a minute, but, you know, ARCA is definitely a step in the direction to you know, a full-time career in NASCAR. How did that all get put together? And you're with a pretty high profile team in ARCA.
Yes, I will be driving for Venturini Motorsports. I'm very excited. They're an amazing team. They've been doing really well this year too, and I have really amazing teammates that I can kind of lean on a little bit and learn from. So I'm definitely excited to be driving for them. And yeah, so I chose to take a step in doing the ARCA series to make it to NASCAR. That's my end goal. So that's kind of why I decided to transition from the USAC cars that I've been driving to ARCA.
Yeah. And do you feel like as a driver, you know, I grew up going to USAC races and Silver Crown races and, you know, and midget races and things like that. But do you feel like as a driver, you almost have to be in like a full bodied car to start kind of getting noticed by sponsors and things like that? I mean, obviously you've had some pretty decent backing, you know, with your USAC career, but, you know, do you feel like, you know, there's just something about being in a full bodied car that, you know, all of a sudden sponsors are like, oh, this is, you know, we can get behind this. Whereas it's like, it's a harder sell with a sprint car.
I mean, I feel like everybody just knows what NASCAR is a lot more than if you say USAC. So if you say, oh, like this ARCA series, the feeder series into NASCAR, then they're like, okay, I know what you're talking about. But if you say I race like a sprint car or a midget, they're like, what are you talking about? So I feel like people tend to know it a little bit better, to a little more familiar. And also, I think you get a little bit more TV time with the whole ARCA deal also, which obviously helps.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, ARCA's got a great TV package. So I know, what was it, last year you made your first appearance in a late model? Your first transition into a stock car. I mean, how did that go? What are the differences? What's the biggest difference from driving, a car in USAC versus, you know, a late model or an ARCA car?
There's so many differences, honestly. I think the biggest difference is you're not sitting in the center of the car. You're sitting to the left side of the car, and you have a whole bunch of cars to your right. So I think figuring out the spacing for me is like the biggest thing. You kind of have to learn where to put the car. When I first got into driving the late model, like I thought I was placing the car somewhere, and then it's like, hey, you need to move over like a foot.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I think just getting used to like having all that body around you is really big. I think that's really like the biggest difference. It's just the car is so much bigger and heavier.
Yeah. Well, and I got to ask, I mean, how did you go down the career path for auto racing? I mean, obviously, your family races, we'll talk about your sister here in a second, but I mean, was it just a family thing? You grew up around the track and it was just like, oh, this is what I do, right?
My dad got me and my sister a go-kart when we were 9 years old. We started racing at Sonoma Raceway. That was our closest track to us. We did that, kind of started off small, and then we started traveling like nationally to like bigger races, and we did go-karting for about 7 years. So I did go-karting for a while. And then after that, my dad kind of said, hey, gonna start racing midgets on an oval. And I was a little skeptical at first because I had no idea what a midget was, or I had never even seen a race on an oval track before. I made that transition, and I'm glad I did, and kind of here now.
Yeah, is that something too? I mean, you grew up, you know, in go-karts, right? And then you moved to ovals. I mean, obviously you did a lot of road racing and karting. I mean, is that something you'd love to go back to at some point? Not necessarily karting, but actual road racing. I mean, the doors are wide open, you know, to IMSA, which is involved with NASCAR. I mean, there's so many tie-ins there. I mean, is that something, if the right doors opened, you'd love to go back to, you know, that direction too?
Road racing is really fun. I've tested a formula car type of deal on a bigger road course before, and that was a lot of fun. But I think I'm definitely more passionate towards the stock cars on ovals. Obviously, NASCAR has a few road courses in the schedule too, so I think those races would definitely be fun to do. I haven't tried a stock car on a road course before, so I think that would be a really cool experience. But I definitely feel more passionate about the oval racing and the stock cars.
Yeah. So I got to ask, I mean, you have a twin sister, Annie. How does that work? I mean, that's both of you race. you guys are super close to each other. I know, at this point she's kind of gone the college route where you're kind of concentrating on, you know, actually driving, you know, race cars full time. But, you know, how is that racing with your sister? I mean, is that where you've got like, you know, your best friend, you can pick their brain, but then at the same time you guys are racing against each other, right? I mean, how does that all work?
I mean, we've been racing with each other for so long. It's kind of like a thing that we got used to. Like, we never really thought, like, I don't know, like, it doesn't seem like a big deal to me or like, ooh, I'm racing against my sister, because we've been racing against each other for like 9 years now. She's always been, you know, my teammate. So we've always leaned on each other for, you know, helping each other out. And I know her driving so well. We'll kind of like work with each other on the track a little bit. So it's definitely cool to be racing with someone for that long, and, you know, my sister. So it's really awesome. I don't get to race with her as much anymore now that she's in college, and I kind of moved on to stock cars. But definitely, hopefully, we get to race with each other again this year.
Yeah. Well, and I know you, you've got the title of the all-time winningest female USAC driver. And, I look at your age and I'm like, wow, like that's amazing. I mean, and I look at some of the amazing female talent that's gone through USAC over the years. I mean, you know, how's it feel to have that, you know what I mean, that title? Because, like I said, there's been some amazing female talent that's raced in USAC, you know. I mean, that's a pretty big statement there.
Yes, there's so many amazing female racers, and a lot of amazing female racers have gone through USAC, so it's definitely a really rewarding title to have. So yeah, it's definitely a cool thing to have. But now that I kind of like raced my way and like was pretty successful with the midgets, I want to start being successful in the Silver Crown cars as well. It's a really big step for me. So I'm focusing more on trying to improve my driving in the Silver Crown car. I'm probably not going to do too much midget racing this year.
Yeah, well, and what's, you know, obviously, there's a, you know, the car is bigger. There's a lot more horsepower there. I mean, as a driver, like, how do you adapt going from a midget to a Silver Crown car? I mean, what's the biggest change? You know, is it, you know, being able to control the car with all that horsepower? I mean, what's the biggest transition for you going from midgets to a Silver Crown car?
I mean, the horsepower is major. You can't just, like, step on the gas, like, however fast you want, when you want. And you have to be a lot more methodical with it. And the competition there is insane. There's really amazing veteran drivers. I think I'm the youngest driver that has been racing in the series this year. So I have a lot to learn from these older and more veteran drivers. So doing the Silver Crown races, like, I'm learning so much. The cars are way more difficult to drive than the midgets than I'm used to. But it's a really, really great learning experience.
Yeah. So what next for you? You've got, I think, June 15th, right? Your ARCA debut. I mean, how are you preparing for that? I mean, that's it's a couple of weeks away. It's got to be exciting. I mean, you know, like you said, they've got a great TV package there with ARCA. I know I was just out at Charlotte, and, you know, it's just an amazing field of drivers. I mean, how are you preparing for that first step into ARCA?
Yes, I'm very excited to be racing at Madison pretty soon here. I'm going to be going to Michigan, the next ARCA race, with my team. I'm going to be listening in on the radio and trying to, like, learn as much as possible. And I went to with the team to Toledo also, and I learned a bunch there. So I'm excited to go to Michigan and learn even more and kind of prepare myself for when it's my turn to hit the track. I'm also going to, you know, be getting advice from my teammates. Just trying to learn, get advice from my teammates, my crew chief, everything like that, and try to prepare myself.
Yeah, well, and what's the schedule look like for you this year in ARCA? I know there's a few drivers running kind of some abbreviated schedules in ARCA and things like that, but what's your schedule look like in ARCA?
So as of right now, I will be doing 3 ARCA races, 3 weekends in a row. So June's going to be a big month for me. Madison's my first race. The weekend after that, I'll be racing at Gateway. And the weekend after that, I will be racing at Chicago. So those are the 3 races that I have set right now.
Yeah. And is this something, where it's kind of like a proof of concept here? Like, let's jump in there. Let's see how it goes. And then, you know, we'll see how we do in these 3 races. And then, you know, we'll look at next year and budget and things like that and see, you know, see if we can maybe possibly run full time.
Exactly. I would love to run full time next year. That's definitely my goal right now. But it'd be really great to go into these 3 races and do well enough to make, you know, a good impression, and come back next year, hopefully doing a full season.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in, Tony. We got to go to a commercial break, but much appreciated. You know, we'll definitely have to catch up soon. I know I may actually be flying to one of the ARCA races in June. This is just something totally unrelated, but I may see you out there. So it gives me a little more incentive to come out there. So hopefully we can make it out there. But good luck this this June and you know, in the ARCA series. We'll definitely hopefully we can get you back on after those events and kind of talk about the experience.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony.
Bye.
All right, and that was Tony Bredinger. Just a young gun. This is one you watch for the next – she's 18, right? Next 5 years. I mean, this girl is going to be making waves. She's going to be making her ARCA debut on those General Tire Grabbers here later on this month. But stoked to be able to catch up to her. We're going to take a short commercial break. We come back, Sam Albert on the line on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than and Polaris in their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island, the best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome my Dirtfish Rally teammate, Sam Albert, to the line. How is everything going, my man?
Great, Jim. Things are going really, really well.
Well, I obviously, man, national podium, first in class, right behind David Higgins. I would say that's a pretty solid weekend, buddy.
Yeah, it's going better than expected. You know, being on the national podium wasn't our goal from the outset, and then to end up on there for two races in a row is pretty dang awesome.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, like, I mean, you and Michelle are good friends of mine. Like, I'm all about you guys this year, and I got to say, leaving Oregon, like, you had to have a little bit of your sales had to have been a little bit deflated, right? I mean, that was just a total bummer for everybody. And like going into Washington, I mean, I was stoked you guys were actually at Washington. I thought, heck, man, they're gonna miss a rally or two just with some of the issues that happened there at Oregon.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to hit the ground running when we got to Oregon, and then to have it just all, you know, fall apart in the beginning was definitely a tough blow. And as you know, you saw it was a tall repair bill to take care of in a short amount of time. So it was, the shop did an incredible job getting everything back together in time for Olympus, and we got a quick little test in, got a little more comfortable with the car. And you know, it's consistent driving that gets you to the podium a lot of times, and that's what we're seeing right now with these last two events.
Yeah, well, and, you know, when I was calling the races for 2 years, consistency is a key, and I think that's, you know, you look at Higgins and everybody goes, oh, look at David, you know, he's just so much better than everybody else. But I don't want to know that, you know, obviously he's a hell of a driver, but he's so smart, and he knows when to take chances and when just to lay up, you know what I mean, and back off a bit. And I think, you know, that's how the consistency comes in, and I think a lot of guys approach rallies, and it's like 110% right from the get-go. And I think you and Michelle are playing it really smart, you know, and it's like you guys know when to push and you know when, hey, we don't really need to drive 100% right now. Let's back off just a hair. And, and I think that's how this consistency is coming in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that we teach our students, too. You can't be driving a rally at 100, 110% the entire time. You're going to make a mistake, and sometimes that mistake you can get away with. And, you know, some of the faster people who push at that point, you know, sometimes they make it and they get a great finish. But a lot of times that's going to end to an off or breaking something, and that could end your rally. So, yeah, you know, Michelle and I, we talk a lot about strategy every event and even after every stage. You know, the ARA rally app has, you know, pretty up to the minute stage times. So we take a look at those like, well, what do we need to do? Do we need to answer back? Do we hold it, you know, steady right now? What's our game plan? So yeah, everything that we do is very calculated to make sure that we get the best result that we possibly can without taking undue risk.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about STPR real quick, because this is one of everybody's favorite rallies on the calendar for some reason. Like, I just love the area, you know, in downtown Wellsboro, and like, it's just a rad atmosphere. And then, you know, you cap it off with the super special where you're going like head to head at the local fairgrounds, I think. And like, it's just a rad event. But I didn't realize, like, I forgot how rugged some of those stages were. Like, there was a picture of you guys, and dude, it looked like the Baja 500 that was going on the same time. Like, I'm like, holy crap, that is rough.
Dude,
I forgot about that.
Totally. Totally. The Friday night or Friday afternoon stages, it was pretty rough. There was a good, like, 200-meter long section that I thought I was, you know, in a total whoops, you know, piece of road where we were just going full compression on the rear end and casing it into the next whoop and just sent the rear of the car in the air. We're dragging the front bumper on the ground. I'm like, oh no, we're going to go over. But luckily we pulled it out. But yeah, it was pretty rough Friday afternoon, Friday night. And then it smoothed out once we got into the Saturday stages. But yeah, you have to play it smart that first day. And that definitely caught us out in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think is really rad about stage rally in the U.S. Like, you get such vast different terrain. I mean, obviously, you know, we talk about STPR, but, you know, even like Oregon Trail, like, dude, that race, the three events, I mean, you're racing it, at the racetrack there on tarmac, and then you go and it's like high speed stuff, and then you go into technical stuff, and then there's like a hill climb mixed in. Like, just that rally alone is so diverse, but like every rally on the calendar, dude, it brings something different at you, you know?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people ask me what my favorite rally is, but it's really hard to say because everything is so different. Like, you know, everything is new. It's a new challenge. You got to, you know, pick your battles and decide what you want to focus on, what you want to just kind of, you know, drive around or, you know, figure out what it is that you can really push, you know, to find a little bit of extra time. So yeah, every rally is uniquely different. And it's, you know, it's one of my favorite parts about rally too. Everything is something new that you've got to work through.
Yeah. Well, how's it been with you? Like, obviously you and Michelle are friends, you know, from Dirtfish and things like that. But I got to ask you, because she's one of the very unique co-drivers in this country that is actually a very proficient driver. You know, she's got national championships and, you know, autocross, and she can drive a rally car and things like that. How is it having a somebody like that in the co-driver seat who knows what it takes to be a driver, but yet is also a very proficient co-driver? You know, she's like a, you know, that girl, she's like the total package being over there in that right-hand seat. How is that for you having her there and being able to pick her brain because she knows what it's like to be behind the wheel as well?
Yeah, you know, Jim, you're totally right. It's a total asset having Michelle in the right seat because of those various reasons that you mentioned. You know, when I'm having a problem or I'm struggling with the car or I feel that the car is doing something, I can just, you know, turn to Michelle. I'm like, do you feel that? Is that something wrong? Or, hey, how do you feel about my braking coming into these corners? Should I do something different? Like, we get to bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, in the end, it makes both of us better at what we do, you know, both as, you know, racers and as instructors.
Yeah. And, you know, that being said, I mean, what's up for the rest of this year? I know you guys signed on for the entire ARA calendar, correct? So, you know, you guys just going to keep chipping away at the events. I know you're on the East Coast right now. When's the venture back west, or are you keeping everything there on the East Coast?
Yeah, so after STPR, we packed up at 1:30 in the morning, and the truck headed down to Boxer Fest out at FedEx Field. So we did that all day Sunday and then packed it all back up again and then left Sunday night and drove up to Vermont Sports Car where we're at right now doing some reprep. So doing that for the next couple of days. I'll be flying home tomorrow afternoon. Got to get some parts ordered and stuff like that and then flying back out here to finish up reprep before New England Forest Rally.
Yeah, New England, that's one of my favorite ones. I just from a spectator standpoint, that's just a rad event. You know, it's always fun. I mean, a lot of these rallies, I mean, have you been to them before? Do you know the stages? I mean, is this your first time at a lot of these events, you know, running them? I mean, how are you going into a lot of these rounds?
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a challenge for me. I grew up rallying on the East Coast, so I have been to SCPR and New England Forest Rally before, but just once each, and a lot of the video and stuff I have from back then is just doesn't really reflect how I drive now, so it's not 100% useful. But yeah, really the only one on the calendar that I haven't been to before was Oregon Trail, oddly enough, since I've been living on the West Coast for 4 years, but I was always gone or on deployment during that race, so I always miss it until this year. And then the new one at the end of the year, Tour de Forest, you know, I don't think anybody has been to it unless they've been in rally for a really, really long time.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I don't think people realize, and I run my own race program, and it's in the desert, but, Mike, you going into this year, like, I don't think people realize, like, you know, the commitment level that it takes to run, especially something like ARA, like, for the full season and East Coast, West Coast, back and forth, plane flights, prep, you know, using Vermont, using Dirtfish, like, I don't think people realize the commitment level it takes. I mean, and I think you realized it, but did you, I mean, I got a feeling you're going to tell me it's like, it's 10 times crazier than you thought it was going to be.
You're 100% correct. You know, I thought I had a pretty busy job when I was in the Army going on deployments every few weeks and just, you know, on a plane, it felt like, you know, every other week, but I'm doing the same thing and then some now. It's really lucky that I have, you know, the instructor gig at Dirtfish because it affords me the flexibility to do what I want.
Yeah.
But Jim, I'll tell you, like, I don't know where my free time went because I feel like I don't have it anymore.
you're probably, oh man, that's funny you compare it to the military because I'm going like, man, that's saying something because I have all the respect in the world for people in the military, but for you, because you've done both, to be like, hey, this is like crazier than being in the military, dude, that you're like the only person that can make that analogy, but it's so crazy to hear you actually say that.
Yeah, it's totally nuts. I absolutely love it though. Like every minute of this has been an adventure and a journey. Getting to meet awesome, you know, cool people that are incredibly knowledgeable at what they do and getting to learn from them and, you know, speak to them. And there's some legends in the sport that I've been able to meet this year because, you know, I'm putting all this effort into it and they recognize it and they want to, you know, share their knowledge and experience too. So that's another really, really cool aspect to, you know, committing to something as big as this.
Yeah. Well, and it's got to be pretty humbling. I mean, you know, and I've been around you enough, you know, at Dirtfish and things like that. Like, I know you're a hell of a driver, but like to me, just to be standing on a podium right next to David Higgins and Craig Drew, like that's, you know, that's got to be pretty humbling for you. Like, wow. Like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, what am I doing up here? Is this the right spot for me? It's crazy, but you know, it's really cool to be up there. You know, it's not always necessarily just about how fast I've been driving, but just that consistency and not suffering some unfortunate consequences that other people have. So, but yeah, like you said, it's incredibly humbling and, you know, being next to Patrick Sandell at Olympus and David at FTPR, it's just like, wow, like this is the real deal.
Yeah. Well, and that being said, I mean, obviously you've got a day job, which I don't want to call it a day job, but Dirtfish, you know, you're an instructor there. I mean, you still being, you know, and obviously if any business is going to understand, you know, you rallying, it's Dirtfish, but at some point you've also got to make a paycheck, right? So you got to be instructing. So you're mixing that back in. So you're flying there and what are you going to work like during June for the most part? And then, you know, back to the East Coast for New England Forest Rally.
Yep. That's the plan. So I'm kind of doing the initial assessment and the easy bits of reprep right now, seeing what parts we need to order. So get that all done when I fly back. Go straight into instructing. As you know, I land at 7 p.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. to go instruct, and we'll be doing that for the rest of the month. And then, yeah, right before New England, you know, start chipping away at the remaining bits of reprep and get ready for our next event. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's tough, you know, because I do need to get that paycheck. But luckily, Subaru has that awesome contingency program for all the newer cars, so that really helps a ton and makes rallying a little bit more sustainable. You know, when we're racing at a little bit lower class, you know, not being in the open cars, but the limited four-wheel drive classes is, you know, well supported by Subaru. So, you know, I can't thank them enough because they're the ones that are really making it, you know, possible.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think that gets said enough because Subaru, you know, it's not like they've been really big at advertising, you know, this contingency program and things like that. But I just know the travel costs, you know what I mean? Just in fuel and hard costs of traveling back and forth across the country. And it'd darn near be, you know, impossible without that money coming in. It's, in a, you know, we're not talking to, you know, $100 or $200. We're talking a substantial amount of money, you know. And I don't think that gets said enough. And I'm glad you brought it up with, you know, what Subaru's done to give back to the sport of rally. You know, everybody sees Higgins and Atco and Sandell and Pastrana, you know, but, and that's what they think of Subaru, but they don't realize what Subaru is actually doing. You know what I mean? For some of the regional guys and lower class guys trying to run the national schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. They're critical to our program. You know, without them, we probably wouldn't be doing a full national season.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate the time, Sam. You know, congrats on the podium, buddy. And hopefully we'll see you at Summerfest. I know I'm flying up there. I know you said, we'll see. You're trying to be there, but totally understandable if you're at New England. But hopefully we're there at the same time and get to catch up, man.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be rad.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot, Sam. And good luck at the next one.
Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
All right, and that was Sam Albert, podium at the STPR Rally, part of the ARA calendar this past weekend, right next to David Higgins. Won his class, second overall. Big shout-out to him and Dirtfish Rally School and Michelle Miller, who we mentioned in that interview. Good friend of mine, also an instructor at Dirtfish. So we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back after this.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Back here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Just getting done catching up with Sam Albert. Also had Tony Bredinger on before that. If you're just joining us, you definitely want to hit us up in the archives at iTunes or at downanddirtyshow.com. Make sure and subscribe on iTunes. Miss those interviews, you definitely want to catch them. Both good stuff. Coming up hour number two, we got Clay Milliken, we got Kristen Matlock, we got Greg Biffle. Got a Dirtfish Rally Report coming at you, man. Slam-packed hour number two, just like hour number one was. Five guests, 2 hours. You know we like to pull out all the stops here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And you know what? It's so slam-packed on this episode and on this show that we have a second show for you called Project Action on Podcast One with our partners over there at Podcast One. Make sure and go to iTunes, subscribe to that. It's different guests. Sometimes it's extended cuts of the interviews you get here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Sometimes it's completely different. But this next week, we've got some stuff I did out there with Team General Tire Fisherman Pro Bass Guys when I was in Charlotte. And then the following week, we've got Brittany Palmer. That's right, UFC ring girl, professional artist, million-plus followers, pro model. You have seen her on every single UFC pay-per-view and, you know, holding up the cards, right? Brittany Palmer, she is going to be my guest here in the next couple of weeks on Project Action as well. So lots of amazing guests coming at you. Definitely check out that show. It is available on iTunes, downanddirtyshow.com, and also at Podcast One. And it's definitely a good supplement, a little bit different type guests than we get on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, but all good stuff. I think you guys are definitely going to enjoy those. So make sure and catch those over there on iTunes. And thanks for the continued support of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. You know, couldn't do it without you guys. You know, we took a little break about a week off just to regather. But if you listen nationally, we are going to be on air on Saturdays and Sundays on the Sports Byline Network. So make sure and check that out. It's sportsbyline.com for all the local listings. And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Kicking off hour number two here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, and there's no better way to do it than with a Dirtfish Rally Report, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com, and make sure and use the coupon code JBDirtfish. That'll get you 15% off any and all classes at Dirtfish Rally School when you want to go up there for some training with some badasses like my good friend Sam Albert, the interview we just did, and Michelle Miller, who his co-driver. So, yeah, you know, they race on the weekends. They train during the week and on the weekends. So you can get some A-plus training there at Dirtfish. Anyways, moving on, we've got the Dirtfish Rally Report. We're talking ARA-STPR Rally, one of my favorite rallies on the ARA calendar. And I got to tell you, David Higgins, he came out on top just like he has the past five times at STPR. That's right, five straight for David Higgins at the STPR rally. You want to say unbeatable? You hate to say that, but David Higgins, he's virtually become unbeatable at the STPR rally. And this one, man, they throw a lot at you. And it's definitely this is the one a couple of years ago, my boy Street Bike Tommy. I remember him. He went and rallied, and he took that victory there. Travis Pastrana crashed out. Tommy got the victory. That's right. That is STPR Rally. This is one, if you can only make it to one around a year, I would say Oregon Trail, New England, STPR. Those should be one of the three. Anyways, Higgins on top, Sam Albert second, and Seamus Burke rounding out your overall podium. And it was definitely one hell of a rally. We had Patrick Brennan fourth outright, Corey Crossman fifth, John Kramer, Travis Neese, TJ Pullen, Dennis Romero, Eamon Fallon, you know, rounding out your top 10 there. So it was a great event. You know, once again, congrats to David Higgins. Chris Atco, timing-wise, he finished second overall, but he ended up having a penalty. I guess they ended up doing some repairs when they weren't supposed to, something like that, and ended up getting penalized for that. So Atco was in action there. I guess technically he finished second overall, but I guess officially he did not. So that lent Sam Albert the second spot on the podium, and I guarantee you Sam's got no problems with that. So that was your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. Coupon code JBDirtfish for 15% off. And we will be back after this short break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the 2-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders. A double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Right now, I'm going to cut to an interview I did out at the ARCA General Tire 150 at Charlotte Motor Speedway with NASCAR legend and General Tire ambassador Greg Biffle. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with General Tire. I know I see you're in the red shirt. You know, what are you doing with GT this year?
Well, we're doing a lot of fun things. You know, General Tire wanted to spice it up a bit and kind of bring some of the fun back to the brand. So we've done, you know, some shoots. We were down in Louisiana, NOAA Motorsports Park, testing out the new RS tire down there and the off-road capabilities of the all-terrain tire. So we've had a lot of fun so far testing at my mountain property. We got a lot of on-road, off-road stuff done up there. So now I'm out here at the Charlotte Motor Speedway with the ARCA, General Tire 150, covering this for them, social media, doing those things, talking to these drivers, which I know a lot of them, and, just having fun so far.
Well, and that being said, I know this is a big one. General Tire called me a couple months back, said, hey, we want you to fly in. You know, we're coming back to Charlotte. You know, you've been around stock car racing your whole life. I mean, you know, it's a pretty big deal for General Tire and ARCA to be back here at Charlotte.
Yeah, it really is. And this is this is sort of NASCAR's home, if you will. And so there's a lot of teams and a lot of series around here. And for ARCA to come back here to Charlotte Motor Speedway and General Tire racing here, it's exciting. And you know, getting ready to qualify the cup cars right now, you know, so you're in front of a big audience. There's a lot of eyeballs here. and this is great exposure, and it's a great track to race on.
So I know, obviously, you got the relationship with General Tire. I got to ask you, we'll switch back talking stock cars in a minute, but I know you spend a lot of time out of Glamis. You do some stuff with Polaris Razors. I know, you know, you've got a bit of the off-road bug. How often are you out of Glamis in the wintertime?
You know, I live there in the wintertime, so I wish I could spend more time than I do. But I made about a dozen trips last year, you know, about a week at a time. I really like that place, so spend a lot of time there. I need to come hang out with you on the hard pack a little bit. I play in the sand all the time. You know, I hate the dust, so I stay away from the hard pack because the sand, there's no dust in my eyes, and I can see where the heck I'm going. But, you know, I enjoy – I got the AT tires on my UTV now, so I've been messing around, like I said, on my mountain property and off-road out here, so –
That's what you're invited to the desert anytime, Aaron Parker. I mean, Robbie Gordon's got a place there. I've got my shop there. We go out all the time and have some fun. And yeah, if you're looking for a shake it up, man, we can get you in the desert.
I'm ready for it. I want to get out there and experience. I want to do some UTV racing and, you know, just kind of ease into it. So you get, there's no ease into any kind of racing. So you get thrown in with the wolves, but I'll come out and do some of it.
Well, I know you guys, too, with Pace Off-Road, you guys started making some UTV parts. I mean, and I know talking with you earlier, kind of off the air, you said it was just something that, you know, organically you kind of did. And, you know, but tell us a little bit about that because, I mean, if you're starting to make parts for it, I mean, obviously, you know, you're pretty deep in the industry.
Yeah, we really are. So we started, you know, I've built race cars since, you know, I was old enough to weld. My parents own a steel construction company, so I learned how to weld and, you know, fabricate when I was 10, 12 years old. So I've been, you know, fabricating and building stuff since then. So when the UTV craze started coming in, you know, Articat built their first machine. And, you know, basically what we ended up doing was fixing the problems. So, you know, we've got fabrication capabilities, and so they're bending A-frames, and they're doing this and doing that. And I had fun engineering a solution to a lot of the issues. And so a lot of the parts that we manufacture at Pace Off Road is basically a fix to, you know, some problem that the industry has. And, you know, one is with the Polaris Razor or any of them is, you know, people want to go bigger and bigger tires and wheels. We see these big, you know, General tires on them. And so wheel bearings become an issue. And so we you know, solved an issue with coming out with a big billet hub and a bigger wheel bearing and a bigger brake package, you know. So we ended up building a lot of stuff like that out of necessity. And so we really have a odd product lineup, if you will, because we build kind of niche parts and pieces. We don't have a global, you can't come to us and buy a light bar and a roll cage and something else. But we can sell important parts for the vehicle that are you know, high quality. So we build stuff that's necessary.
So that being said, we're out here at Charlotte Motor Speedway again, General Tire ARCA 150. You know, how is it you being back here? I mean, Cup qualifying is going to be happening in a little bit. I mean, you know, what's been keeping you busy the past year or two? I mean, I know, you know, you're still looking at potentially if, you know, the right ride came along going back to Cup. I mean, you've got a lot you can add to a team, I think, just talking with you up there, you know, and the tower watching qualifying with the data and the knowledge you bring. I mean, you know, what's the prospects for you?
You know, I'm definitely entertaining the idea. You know, I'm getting more and more calls about driving cars, so I'd love to get back behind the wheel. But like I said, the reason why I left when I did was, you know, just want to be competitive. And in racing, everybody wants to be competitive. You're not going to be competitive every single week. But when you become not competitive, it's no fun anymore. So I needed to step away. And if a competitive opportunity arises, certainly I'll consider it and may step back into the seat. And, you know, it may be in an Xfinity car or possibly a truck for one or two races or something to have some fun and get back at it. But, you know, I enjoy all kinds of racing. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, gas pedal, and as long as it burns gas, I'm driving it or riding it. So, you know, I love motorcycles, two-wheelers, and these cars.
Yeah, you need to tell our friends at General Tire on the Continental side they need to get you in one of the prototypes, right? Go IMSA racing.
Yeah, I've done that. I ran the Rolex 24-hour race in 2004, a long time ago. So I had a lot of fun doing that. Actually, I'm building a Lemons car right now. So I'm getting ready to go do a couple Lemons races.
What's the budget on those? Because I've heard like $500,000. You got to be going over that, I know already, right?
Yeah, well, the spirit of the rule is $500. So I talk to most guys. Most guys have, you know, $8,000 to $10,000, $12,000 in a junker car, you know, because you got to be able to run for, you know, 16 hours. And you know what it's like race prepping a vehicle to run 16 hours. You know, go get a wrecking yard car, you got some wheel bearings and some, you know, nuts and bolts and some things you have to do to get that car to run 16 hours. But we're looking forward to it. I'm building an old Ford car. You know, I tried to find the ugliest thing I could find, you know, kind of spirit of the rule. So it's going to be fun when I bring it out.
When are we looking at a debut for that? Because that's one of those, like, I got to think, you going Lemons Racing, there's going to be a little bit of media around that.
Yeah, there's going to be. And, you know, General Tire's involved with that a little bit. So, but we're targeting, you know, this fall. So we're looking at some races in October. I think October they race in Sonoma at, you know, out at Infineon Raceway in California. So I think I'm going to target that to be one of my first races. And then they race Road Atlanta in the fall, like November, December. So those will probably be my first two races.
I was going to say Sonoma, that's a track you know well, right? So if you're going to go, that'd be the proper one to break it in?
Yeah, that'd be fun. I actually did help the team out, and I drove some laps for them at Road Atlanta in December. They had an 83 Toyota Corolla. So needless to say, it didn't make it very far, but I drove it some for them. And, I mean, I had a great time. And that's the kind of racing – you know, after that weekend and being around all the guys and help, you know, get all the things together. I brought, like, all the radios and helped set the pits up. Those are the kinds of things that are fun for me, you know. And that's back to, like, local Friday, Saturday night racing. That's where we all got started racing, right? So I enjoyed it the most.
Well, and you know, that's something, you know, you're in the pressure cooker of Cup. You've been in there for a long time. And, I mean, it's stressful. And at some point, the fun factor's got to go away, right?
Yes. The fun factor's way gone, you know, when you're – we're in there. It is so tough and so much pressure. And to have an opportunity just to go back and fun race. Doesn't matter what happens. You know, you're just you're out there to have a good time, and you want to win. You know, you put all the effort you can into it, but you know, there's no pressure, and that's what makes racing fun.
Well, and you know, he's talking with a lot of these Cup drivers now, and you got guys like, you know, Kyle Larson for one, and he goes and he's driving as much as he can, you know, and it's got to be a little bit of a release to just be able to go to a short track in the middle of the week and not have to worry about the pressure of Cup.
It does. It actually takes your mind off. And I loved Xfinity racing because, you know, I could get in the car on Saturday, learn a bit about the track, and, the pressure's off. And so that was sort of fun racing. You know, you could get your racing fill by racing on Saturday, and then Sunday's all business.
All right, so, you know, we're out here at General Tire 150 again, but what's next for you after, you know, after we leave this weekend? What's next for Greg Biffle?
Well, I think I'm going to get back to work on the Lemons car. It's been on the back burner for a little bit, so I got to get back at that. And we're making a trip to St. Anthony, Idaho, to the sand dunes out there, and, you know, a few trips for General Tire. We have some events coming up. We're going to Uwari National Forest back here in North Carolina, so looking forward to that. We're going to go test out the X3 a little bit, put it to the test. So me and some of my buddies are gearing up for that that little excursion. So, you know, lots of things on coming up.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Greg, man, and been good catching up.
Good, thanks you.
That was General Tire Ambassador Greg Biffle, and we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want the latest from Jim Beaver and Amy Hood? Follow at Jim Beaver 15 and at Amy Hood 71 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest to the line, my Polaris Razor teammate, Kristen Matlock. How's everything going, Kristen?
Awesome. How are you doing, Jim?
I am doing okay. Not as good as you, though. I think that's an understatement. I got to tell you, Kristen, like, I mean, you were always you're always a pick to win at Baja, especially in the NA class. But, like, I mean, this whole thing's got to be surreal, right? I mean, overall winner in UTV. I mean, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling, well, kind of tired, but no. Other than that, I'm so excited. I went into this race telling everybody actually that I was going for the overall this time. I was bound and determined that I was going to get it one of these days. And I came so close to it at San Felipe this year. And So I knew that it was possible, and if I just pushed a little bit harder, I could make it happen, and I sure did it.
Well, you know, and I've been talking with so many people, and you know, and we're kind of just dissecting how the heck you did this. And I said, you know, you and I have had conversations both on and off air before, and you approach things a little bit different. And I know, especially the guys in the Pro Turbo class, they push so ridiculously hard, and it's like 110% all the time. And things just happen when you're pushing that hard. And not that you don't push hard, but you tone it back to like 95%. You leave a little bit there, you know, but it's like you don't go over that hump where you start making mistakes and causing excess damage on the car. You know, do you feel like you kind of have that approach where you leave a little bit left where when you need to push, you can, but it's like, oh, we're not going to jump off the cliff quite yet.
Exactly. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I'll talk about that in a minute, the cliff thing. But yeah, I usually run about 75 to 80%, because that way, you know, towards the end, if they tell me, hey, just push a little bit harder and you can get it, then I've got a little bit left. And that way, you know, I just don't want to go out there and wad the car up or break something right away and just completely take myself out of the race from the very beginning. So, yeah, I definitely take it easy most of the time and just see where I end up. But lately, since I've been getting closer and closer to the top, I've definitely been pushing it a little bit harder. And this time I was pushing it in trophy truck dust in the Mike Sky Ranch area. Mm. And I didn't quite hear my co-driver say left whenever we were going around this turn, and I was just in a complete whiteout, and I went up and over a bank, and let's just call it a cliff because it was about 30 feet tall. We got down to the bottom of this thing, and we were thanking our lucky stars that it wasn't any deeper than what it was. And luckily there was a path out of it. So I had to do about a 10-point turn down there at the bottom of it and work my way up in low gear and climbed myself out, and we lost about 5 minutes of all. So we were super lucky, and definitely made me drive a little bit differently through the rest of the race there in the dust especially, but we were able to still pull it off. So that was the closest one yet for me. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, the Mike's loop too, when you immediately said cliff and Mike's, I'm like, there's some of those that are catastrophic, you know, and it, like you said, you were lucky that that one was only 30 instead of, you know, a couple hundred feet, you know, or something like that. Like that's.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know that road so well, because we frequent Baja quite often, and Mike's Sky Ranch is one of our favorite places to go to. But it was just that one moment when, you know, you know all about it, when you're just in a complete whiteout and you can't see anything. And I tried to come to a stop, but there's just no stopping. So pretty scary.
And that's what I think is even more remarkable. Like, and people don't realize, like, in desert racing, to be able to run, you know, 550 miles, you know, ish, like, it's – there's so many places, like every second you can make a mistake and there's a rock that you pass that could have ended your day, or, you know, there's a tree or there's a cliff, or, you know, there's so many things. And like to be able to run a race 550 miles so clean, you know what I mean? It's so hard to do, you know, to concentrate that long, you know?
It is, definitely. You have to stay on your game the entire time. Like you said, a split second matters, because actually thought I broke my wrist during this race too. In the very beginning, there was a section I was coming into and it was just pure silt, but it was off camber to the left, and then it was a quick switch over transition to off camber to the right. And in that transition period, the steering wheel got yanked out of my hand so hard that my thumb got caught up in the steering wheel, and then I thought it snapped. I felt something crunch in my wrist. I'm like, oh no, this is it, you know. But luckily, I was able to just power through it. It was painful, but it's just a spring, so I was good to go.
Yeah, you're lucky. Like I know when I used to race stock class trucks, and they would the steering wheel, you always held with your thumbs on the outside of it, because like you just have to let the steering wheel kind of glide through your hands. And I know I do the same thing in the Razor, because it's like every once in a while that thing can catch, and you know, our trophy trucks don't do it like these, but like it literally, if your thumbs are there, that wheel will spin, and it, I mean, it can snap a thumb so quick, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me, and I think I'm gonna have to change my holding position on my steering wheel because of it. I'm gonna have to get become conscious of that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm one to stick my thumbs in there all the time just to support it. But yeah, that was surprisingly quick, you know. It caught me off guard.
Yeah, for sure. So I got to ask you, I mean, you know, you've been running the NA car. I mean, your husband, Wayne, has been really successful in the turbo cars. You know, you're in the NA car and you're starting to creep up and, you know, you're beating most of the turbo field now, a couple races in a row. You've just overalled this one. I mean, do you think the NA car is an advantage? It sometimes having that less horsepower and not putting quite the forces on the drivetrain, or is it something where you wanted to eventually jump up into a turbo class car? I mean, where are you at in processing all this? Because obviously at this point you can pretty much do whatever the heck you want to do, right?
Yeah, I'm really torn on that. It's been a big conversation between Wayne and I for sure. Just because I'm really comfortable in my NA car and it doesn't seem to really matter, you know, because yeah, like on the Mike Sky Ranch road, that real straight road going up, Brandon Sims actually blew past me doing 80-something miles an hour when I'm in the 60s. But when it comes to the tight, twisty areas, you know, I'm able to gain on him through there because I'm really good at turning, and it doesn't really matter the horsepower, you know, in the turn. So, but yeah, I'd like to step up to that class eventually just because that's where all the big runners are.
Yeah.
But honestly, I kind of like my car. I'm really secure in it. I don't have any belt issues. I know the turbos still struggle with the belt just because they run hotter and they've got all that horsepower, you know. It's just difficult to keep those belts so cool and keep them from snapping. But I didn't go through a single belt on this race. I didn't have a flat tire. I just gassed and went the whole entire time, just a couple little issues here and there, but never had to get out of the car once. So I think I'm going to keep her for now.
Well, that's impressive. No belt issues, no nothing. I mean, it's like, it's become the common joke. Like I walk around at the races and everybody in the turbo class is doing the same thing, but it's like people have all kinds of piping going into their clutch covers. And there's like, it looks like almost a Medusa thing. Like there's all kinds of hoses coming out and pumps going in. And it's just like, it's almost become comedic how creative people are getting with the turbo class cars and, you know, and their clutch housings.
It's so true. Yeah. I mean, they're just trying so hard to keep those belts cool. So that's key. Definitely. It takes a long time to get out and change a belt. I know everyone's gotten real, real good at, you know, getting out, and they've got different little tabs on their clutch covers so they can get them off quick and easy and put them back on easy too. But you know, if you don't have to get out at all, it's definitely an advantage.
Yeah. So, you know, that being said, you know, how was this race? I mean, because Wayne was running right up there in front in the turbo class cars. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you guys are on the same radio frequency. I mean, you know, you're gaining on him. I mean, how does that all shake out? You know what I mean? Does he go, oh, man, Kristen's got a shot. She's made all this time. Like, does he help you out? I mean, how does this all play in? Because we've talked about this before, but I got to wonder, I mean, what's going through Wayne's head? Because here's his wife in a car with, you know, 60 less horsepower, and all of a sudden she's ahead of him on time.
I know. I think he's kicking himself in the butt for teaching me so well. He's the one that taught me everything. Yeah. I know. But no, we do run the same radio frequency, and it's really nice because I can definitely hear where he's at, and he knows where I'm at all times. And he had a few issues during this race. He had a very first fire, which was extremely scary. When they were fueling, one of the guys, I believe, pulled it out too quick and got gas on the motor back there and shot up in flames instantly. So that set him back for a little bit. And then he had a belt, and I can't remember what other things, but there was a few things that slowed him down up there. He started first off the line, so I never passed him. He's the only one in the whole race out of the UTVs that I didn't physically pass. But I had him on adjusted time, and he knew that from about mile 250 on. That's when I was for sure sitting in the number one, you know, first overall out of the whole race position there. So he knew exactly where I was for about, you know, 250, 300 miles for sure. And he was proud of me. I could hear him on the radio. He's like, come on, you can do it. He cheered me on the whole time on the radio. I thought it was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. So what's next for you guys? I know you're doing the full score schedule. Are you going to do Vegas to Reno, or, you know, what's the rest of this year look like for you guys?
Yeah, our next one's Vegas to Reno. I'm looking forward to that one. I won that one last year. So I'm hoping to do the same thing this year, but possibly get further up on the overall, hopefully. That one's a real fast one, though, so we'll see how the NA does against those turbos. But, yeah, Vegas to Reno, and then we've got the Tijuana Desert Challenge for the score series, and then Baja 1000, the big one. So that's about it for us.
All right.
Two big ones coming up, though.
Yeah, the big ones, right?
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in, Kristen. Congratulations on the big victory there in Baja, and we'll definitely see you out at Vegas Torino.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Thanks, right. Jim.
Thanks, Kristen.
Okay.
All right, and that was Kristen Matlock, your overall Baja 500 winner in the UTVs and a Polaris Razor. And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest to the line, Mr. Clay Milliken, I guess back-to-back winner in NHRA Top Fuel. Having a hell of a year, buddy. How's everything going?
It would be absolutely wrong for me to complain about anything. The way this year's been going, I mean, it's just been incredible. Absolute dream season to this point, and we are certainly going to try to keep it rolling.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I had Leah on air about a month or so ago, but really Top Fuel this year, aside from, Leah having that win, like it's either Steve-O or Clay that we're talking about. It seems like between you and Steve-O, man, you guys are taking like the lion's share of everything home.
I tell you, I mean, you know, they certainly have been the team to beat, you know, no doubt about it. Steve-O and them, they are just incredible, been on a heck of a roll. And, you know, but we've been doing our dangest. You know, we're a little bitty team compared to Steve-O, and they are awesome, awesome folks. I mean, man, what a job they do. But we are definitely trying to be the little team that just keeps on pushing and moving forward. And right now things are going our way. I mean, it is a long, long time to go, but if you look at NHRA Top Fuel this year, though, it has really been incredibly competitive. I mean, you know, yes, Stevie's got the lion's share of the wins, and we done got a couple here, but, I mean, you've got quite a few cars that have won. I mean, you know, Cherry McMillan's been in the final round. Scott Palmer's been in the final round. I mean, Doug Coletta, Leah. I mean, it is just awesome how close the cars are right now. It is great racing.
Yeah, well, and that's saying something right there, too. You know, you talk about all those different teams, and, you know, and then you talk about, you know, the ones we didn't even mention that you know can run up front, Antron and Brittany, and, man, it's Top Fuel. I got to tell you, it's got to be, and I hate to go out and say this, but this year it's got to be one of the most exciting divisions in NHRA with everything you guys got going on.
I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, again, you know, yeah, you mentioned a couple there I didn't even think about. You know, Brittany's 1-1. I mean, it is definitely anybody that qualify has a real shot of winning these things. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk about NHRA changing the track prep. You know, our team is kind of the long ball hitter, so to speak. I mean, we love those, you know, night runs, and you would think that we would want all the traction compound we could get, but we've actually enjoyed the lesser track prep, so to speak. I mean, that's been a hot topic. You know, the NHRA's track prep's just been a little bit different, a little less glue, but I think it's made the racing really, really good. I mean, they're doing that in an attempt to slow us down, but I mean, these cars are still, you know, I went 335 miles an hour at Phoenix. Tony Schumacher went 336. I mean, you know, we can still get down through there, but I think it's made the competition tighten up. I really do.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and you've been around the sport a long time, and I know, you know, they talked about back when it went from, what, a quarter mile to, you know, to 1,000 feet, and you know, and it's going to ruin things, and, you know, it's going to make everything so slow, the fans aren't going to care, and, You know, to me, when you're going over 300 miles an hour, a few miles an hour here and there, it doesn't really matter. You know, as a fan, as somebody on the outside, like, it's still damn exciting.
Oh, I mean, you know, you can't see it. You know what I mean? Watching from the grandstands or even on television, I mean, you know, 310, 320, you know, you can't see it. In the car, you can feel that a little bit, but, you know, I mean, NHRA is doing what they got to do to keep this sport healthy and safe, most importantly. But right now, NHRA drag racing is booming. Fan attendance at an all-time high. The Fox Sports 1 television broadcast is just absolutely on fire. People are loving drag racing. And I've said this forever. Drag racing, NHRA drag racing, is by far, you know, the most American sport there is. You know, it's an instant winner and loser. There's no, you know, past champions, provisional starting spots. There's no, you know, no guaranteed nothing. And you know right away what's going to, you know, who won, who lost. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah. No, and I completely agree, you know, and that's something I've been talking about on the show a bit, you know, and I off-road race, and industry is really healthy in off-road too. And it seems like a lot of motorsports, I mean, NHRA and IndyCar in particular, are just booming right now. And then you've got, you know, NASCAR, which is the 10,000 pound gorilla. And I got to tell you, they're a bit drowning, you know, but I go to an IndyCar event, I go to an NHRA event, very much the same, like, it's open pits, open paddock. You know, the drivers are out there. They're conversing with the fans. They're high-fiving them. They're signing autographs. They're taking pictures. You know, people can see you guys, you know, your crew work on the car. You know, it's very accessible. You guys have been very welcoming to the fans. And I think that they're rewarding, you know, the series with ratings and attendance and things like that because they want to go places where they can see it, feel it, touch it, experience it, you know?
Oh, no question about it. And I mean, you know, that's the beauty of the NHRA is, you know, you've got all the access to everything going on and you've got such a variety of cars. I mean, there's hundreds of cars at every event, you know, whether you're a fan of pro stock, pro mod, top fuel, or if you're like me, you know, you're a sportsman racer in heart and the sportsman guys are there, you know, guys that are maybe local to the track or, you know, the guys that travel the country like we do, but they're doing it at the sportsman level. There's so many different things to see. The Midway's always got a lot of exciting stuff going on. You know, there's so much to see and do at the NHRA events, and you're not stuck in your seat for 4.5 hours. And I'm a huge NASCAR fan. I mean, I really am. But, you know, to me, you've got so many other options. When you go to an NHRA event, you can go up and watch your favorite class, and then you can go do something else for a little while till they get the car ready to go again.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, one thing about NHRA, too, you know, it's exciting to watch on TV, but I don't think people can appreciate what a top fuel car or a funny car does until they're actually there at the track and they get to see it. And I know, Vegas, I saw you, you know, during driver introductions kind of behind the scenes, and we talked for a second before you had to go on stage. But, you know, NHRA you know, they'd kind of invited me out and went there, and I got to tell you, you haven't lived until you've stood 10 foot behind a top fuel car and your eyes are burning and they're watering and your lungs are burning. And then all of a sudden you guys stomp that loud pedal and all of a sudden it blows you back. It's like somebody socked you in the chest. I got to tell you, I experienced that standing 10 foot behind a top fuel car. And that's one of those things where I want to do that every day. I want more of that, man.
There is nothing like it. I mean, you just heard Iggy, my little terrier barking in the background. He knows what it means to stomp on that loud pedal. And, you know, that's the crazy thing. You know, these things make over 10,000 horsepower. And if you're 10 foot behind them or at the top of the grandstands, you are going to feel it. And then people, you know, that have never been, you know, they don't really have any idea when they watch on television what it's really like. And so that's what I tell people all the time. You know, if you come see these things in person, then when you watch it on TV, at least you really know what it feels like. You know, how it vibrates the ground, vibrates the grandstand, sets car alarms off out in the parking lot. I mean, they literally cause an earthquake. They truly do. I mean, you know, they are definitely ground-pounding monsters.
Yeah, and it's just so amazing to see how everything runs. And, you know, I was lucky enough, four wide, and there's four of you guys going at it, you know. And how is that as a driver? I know I've talked with Antron, and I've talked with Steve-O and Leah, and I always like to get their opinions on this whole four wide thing. I mean, now you guys are doing it a few times a year. It was kind of like, at one point, it was just kind of a one-off, and now it's like, hey, we're going to start cycling these in a bit, you know. How is that for you? I mean, you loving the four wide? Is it one of those where, you know, you're not so crazy about it? I mean, how does Clay Milliken feel about the four wides?
Me personally, as a driver, purely as a driver, I have kind of a, I guess, love it and hate it. And I actually love the confusion on the starting line, you know, trying to get all the cars staged up when they're supposed to be staged and, you know, get all the Christmas tree bulbs lit the way you're supposed to. I love that part of it. Love that confusion. The hard part, being a very small team, is on race day. In a typical race, you know, if you go out there and it's, you know, let's say it's first round and you smoke the tires immediately, you can look over and you see the other car is pretty much kicking your butt. So you let off the throttle because you've lost. Well, in the four wide, you can only see the car that's in the lane beside you. You can't see the other two cars. So if you smoke the tires and the guy beside you is beating you, you really don't know what those other two cars are doing. So you have no choice but to kind of leg it out, so to speak, drive it down through there, spinning the tires, which is, you know, can be very costly, you know, can cost you a motor, cost you a supercharger. And so that's the hard part of the four wide, but I still love doing it. I mean, it, you know, it's just fun to do. And, you know, from the fans' perspective, it is a lot going on. It's so loud and it definitely is just absolutely crazy. But I think it's pretty cool, you know, and the Vegas did a heck of a job getting that place ready because, I mean, they literally did not stop running the racetrack until November, and there we were right back at the start of the year. That place looked absolutely perfect. Heck of a racetrack.
Yeah, it was amazing, you know, and you see the pictures online, and I mean, I think a lot of people go, oh, they just added a couple lanes. Now I think they tore everything out. I mean, it wasn't just like they made it wider. I mean, I think they gutted that thing. That was one heck of a project they had in Las Vegas. And, you know, having been there, like you said, man, props to the people there at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, because they did a hell of a job in getting that up and running for you guys in March, or April, I believe.
They really did. Yeah. I mean, they really, really did. And they did. They wiped everything out with the exception of the wall nearest to the racer side grandstands. Everything else, absolute brand new. And, you know, to get that done in that short amount of time and to have it so perfect when we showed up was just hats off to Jeff Foster and all the people that run the track there in Vegas. But I like the four wide, and like I say, kind of hate it at the same time. But it is fun.
Yeah, well, I guess it'd be like NASCAR and their road courses. You know, they throw a couple of different events at you here and there, you know, just to keep it interesting, you know. So I guess that's probably what NHRA is doing with the four wides. They just keep it a little interesting on you guys.
Well, I mean, the main thing is you know, how many people are showing up for the events, and they are packing the place. And that, you know, that just tells you the fans like the four wide, and then I like the four wide.
Yeah, for sure. I can appreciate that, man. So I got to ask you, going back, I mean, you back-to-back wins right now. I mean, getting any kind of win in NHRA is a big deal. Back-to-back, I mean, you know, you feel like, I mean, tell me about this momentum you guys have going as a team, because, you know, it's tough to get one win. Getting back-to-back, do you guys get in a groove and it's like, you just, you know, you guys are all in sync as a team and in motion and things just start kind of rolling? I mean, you know, how do you get on that where it's back-to-back and you just kind of keep rolling through the weekends?
Well, it's absolutely crazy. You talk about tough to get a win, period, in NHRA Top Fuel. I mean, it took me 19 years, 19 years, you know, to get my first NHRA Top Fuel win. And, of course, we did that last year in Bristol. But to come out this year, you know, we had four number one qualifiers, I think, in the first seven races, I think it was. And, you know, everybody knows how quick our car is. I mean, you know, we've currently got the national record. We set it last year in St. Louis. We reset it again this year in Pomona. And, you know, our problem had simply been, you know, finding consistency, you know, making the car go down the racetrack every run. And when it goes down, typically we're going to outrun who's in the other lane. I mean, but trying to push the car that hard has, you know, certainly been the problem. But, and, you know, Grubby has, our crew chief, David Grubnick, has been obviously working on kind of pulling the reins in on this thing and making it go down the racetrack without hurting itself and dropping cylinders. And he has definitely kind of got it figured out. I mean, two races in a row, that's eight consecutive wins, you know, in one of these crazy nitro cars. That is just crazy. I mean, I would have never dreamed it, but after we won Topeka a couple of weeks ago, everybody that was around me, I said, we're going to win Chicago. I mean, I just had that feeling that, you know, Grubby was going to maintain what we're doing and just keep moving forward. And it was a crazy, crazy deal for someone, like I say, that took 19 years to get there first and then to go back to back and, you know, and move ourselves right up behind Stevie in points. I mean, he had a huge points lead and, you know, I mean, it's still way early in the year to worry about the points, but it's just unbelievable. But this Little Parts Plus Great Clips team just keeps moving forward. And then that's hats off to all the kids that work on this car, David Grubnick, Max Savage. I mean, they do all the work and I get to have all the fun and I do a lot of talking because I do love talking.
Well, and you know, you said something back there and I want to talk about that because you said, you know, everybody knows how fast this car is, you know, and what I find funny about race cars in general and you could take that car that you've got that, you know, just won, and you could build one that's completely identical down to every last nut and bolt, and it's not going to be the same. It's just it's like the perfect storm. You get a car and you get it tuned just right, and there's just something magic, and I feel like, you know, that car you got right now has got a little bit of magic in it.
It really does. I mean, and you are 100% correct. I mean, you know, it's funny, as much as you try to maintain that consistency from one car to the next, they all have their own personalities. I mean, we see that, you know, every time you have to front half these cars after so many runs, you know, you're worried, you know, are you going to lose whatever magic is working with that car? But, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the beast. These cars bow and move, and they move so much, you know, you've got to put a front half on them every so often. I mean, this car was new to us at the start of the season. You know, we went to a Don Schumacher chassis and we changed it up a little bit from how they do it, you know, did the grubby thing to it. And, but you are right. It is nerve wracking to think, you know, man, you know, you don't want to change anything right now, but truth is during qualifying, I mean, we actually were doing some testing, qualifying run number three, you know, this past week in Chicago. Grubby is never stopping. And, you know, he knows everyone's working on catching up to where we're at right now. And we're not going to stop either. But it's like, oh, man, do we really want to mess with this thing? But you have to, because all the other teams are working their tail off and they're coming after you. And then you just got to keep moving forward and ride this wave while we're riding it. I'm having a blast doing it.
Yeah, well, and that being said, I mean, riding this wave, you know, we're kind of in the stretch right now where there's a lot of rounds, you know, coming up and things like that. And you talked about the points, and you and Steve-O, I think about 25 points, give or take. I know we're riding that ballpark there. Separation, I mean, how do you keep this momentum moving, you know, down this stretch of all these events we got coming up?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just like you get on the roller coaster, or you get in line to get on the roller coaster. Well, we rode it in Topeka, rode it in Chicago. Chicago is the first race of four in a row. And as we speak, I am somewhere in Ohio, you know, in the truck headed towards Richmond, you know, so you just got to get on the roll and city to city to city and just try to keep turning those wind lights on. I mean, obviously our team is wound up and charged up, and you know, right now it's like nothing can stop us. You know, we just go and keep knocking these things out one right after the other. I mean, but it is tough. It's tough on all the guys that do this, everybody that travels. You know, that's the hard part of this thing. It's not like we, you know, stick these cars in a container and fly them from one race to the next like the Formula One guys do and come in on our private jets. I mean, we are in the big truck rolling down the road. But, man, this is what we do. You know, this is how I feed my family. This is what I do for a living, and all the guys on the car same way. I mean, so we eat it, sleep it, and breathe it every day.
Yeah, well, and I got to say, you eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it, but you still got time to fit in. I saw you posted, I believe, yesterday there. You got yourself a celebratory haircut at Great Clips, huh?
I did. I mean, on the road, you know, and it's fun. You know, I don't have to do those things, you know, but I always just enjoy it. I mean, obviously I'm in a lot of different towns, and so I walk into a lot of different great clips and get a haircut, you know. So I thought my little tagline was kind of cool, you know, the win on Sunday, sell on Monday kind of thing. Yeah. So it was, mine was win on Sunday, get a great clips haircut on Monday. That's kind of what I did. That was in Indiana, you know. That was kind of en route from Chicago, coming across the country, and me, Donna, and the dog were rolling. We just, like I say, pulled into a truck stop, got a spot, and knew it was time to call you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call me, my friend. Always welcome to call in anytime. I guess in this off season, we got to get together and we got to go do some razor riding, I think. So we got to.
You better believe it.
Once the off season hits, we got to. And weather's good here in the Southwest. We got to figure something out, man. We got to go on some rides together.
No doubt about it. Me and Donna actually went out the one weekend we had off a few weeks ago. We took the old Polaris Razor out, got her nice and dirty and muddy, and had a blast. I mean, we went riding down near the Mississippi River, which is close to where I live, and just threw a whole bunch of mud and stomped on the loud pedal of the old Razor. Man, I love riding those things. But yeah, well, I got to make my way back to your part of the country and throw some sand.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because we got Steve-O hooked on these things now, and I know Antron's hooked on them. And Leah, she sent me a message. And she wants to come out ride them. I'm like, man, we could have this full, like, Top Fuel. Like, I think we just – I don't know what we need to do. We could make some social media contest out of it or something like that. But Top Fuel drivers invade Glamis or something like that. We could have some fun with this.
You ain't kidding. I was so jealous when Antron and Steve-O come and drove the Polaris Razor Star car. I was like, man, that's awesome. They got to do that. I have been to Glamis Fullerton Sand Sport guys took me out there, you know, and rode around over out by Glamis and Greg Biffle's place. I mean, we had a blast. I spent a few days there. That is definitely something that I got to do again.
Yeah, well, we'll have to text off air. We'll get something lined up this off season, man. We'll make that happen. I'd love to come out and run some razors in your area of the country too. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to do a swap of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny, though. I'm such a clean freak that when I ride at home, you know, and get everything all nice and muddy, I'll spend about as much time cleaning up the razor as I do ride it.
Oh, man, that's too funny. All right, Clay. Well, I know you got to get back on the road, but thanks a lot for calling in, my friend, and we'll definitely talk soon. Good luck. Good luck. Hopefully we can get you on after the next round, and you keep rolling with these wins. We'll keep having you call in for interviews, man.
I love it. I mean, we're going to try to make it three in a row, see what we can do. I mean, it's going to be a great weekend at Richmond, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Clay. Take it easy, my friend.
Talk to you soon, buddy. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. And that was Clay Milliken, your NHRA Top Fuel winner, back-to-back, also a Polaris Razor aficionado. Anyways, lots of fun catching up with Clay. We'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Back wrapping things up here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And man, hell of a show today. Greg Biffle with General Tire, Kristen Matlock with Polaris Razor, NHRA double winner Clay Milliken, Tony Bredinger, and Sam Albert with Dirtfish. One hell of a show. Thanks you guys for tuning in, man. You know, if that wasn't enough, we'll keep rolling. We got Lucas Oil coming up from the Midwest. I'll be doing TV. Don't forget, we got IndyCar in Texas, Pro Moto coming at you. Everything still firing on all cylinders, NHRA, ton more coming at you. Big shout-out to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Subaru, Vision Wheel, Casey Eilis, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish, Impact, Optimus, Moto, Shield Pro, Terracross, and the Blue Water Resort and Casino. Couldn't do it without their support. I am at JimBeaver15. My counterpart, Amy Hood, is at AmyHood71. Make sure and subscribe, rate, and review to both the Down and Dirty Radio Show and my other show, Project Action, on iTunes. And use that coupon code JBDirtfish for 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. And, you know, It's been a fun one. I don't know. I'm speechless for the first time in this show. You know, wrapping things up, and what do I draw blanks? Once again, thank you guys. Don't forget Project Action. We got the General Tire Fisherman coming up. We've also got we've got Brittany Palmer, UFC ring girl and artist. She's going to be on Project Action as well. We got a big short course show coming up next week here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You can tune in to me on TV. Make sure and get that Lucas Oil TV app. You'll be able to catch me there. Social media, it's at JimBeaver15. Lots of content rolling out. Got lots of fun projects, man. It's going to be one hell of a good time and a good summer. Don't forget, go to downanddirtyshow.com. Check out all that web content we have been dropping, and shoot us a message or DM us on social media if you need more. So take it easy. Be safe. As always, game on.